And blessed to be with you, our great friend Dave Pezzo joining us, Pezzo Center, Pezzo Financial. Pezzo loves the government. Pezzo's not down with the shutdown. He's a big fan of big government. So there's probably no one happier in America today than you that the government has been reopened.
And expanding again.
Yes.
Yes, because unless we close it, it just keeps expanding.
Well, not anymore.
Consuming more and more of your life.
Well.
Isn't that great?
But on the other hand, Dave Pezzo, you like to fly. You're an international traveler. You go to such exotic locations as Reno, Nevada, and some other places of that nature that maybe some of us in our lives would be
honored
to go once or twice. They practically have named a street after you in Reno.
Right.
But the air traffic control system was going down.
Yes, it was. Too many absences. So
right.
It's good to see up and going at least for 3 weeks,
but
right?
But doesn't that mean the government does something good? Your beloved way to fly.
It does. Government is good at protection. That's what they're good at, and that's what we need them for. So
your thoughts here on KIDO Talk Radio of the government shutdown and 3 more weeks, the impact it's had on the economy, on people's markets, that sort of thing?
Yeah, well, here's what we've had since we've had a government shutdown. We've got a market that's on fire, literally. We are up 6.5% since the beginning of the year with the S&P 500. We are up 10% with small company stocks. Technology is just a little tiny bit behind that. It's amazing. It's an amazing run that we've had as the government shut down, which, again, we should think about this. So now that the government's open, is this great news for the market? Number one, we very easily could close down in 3 weeks, so why would we be too excited about that? But also, let's bear in mind, the government shutting down, was that bad news for the market? No. Is it going to be good news to have the government back open? No. It's business as usual. The world will go on. We don't want to have no government because, obviously, as you pointed out, Kevin, we've got TSA issues, people without pay that are actually doing work. So these things have to be fixed. But as far as the overall markets, the overall economy, it really doesn't have an impact.
Dave Pezzo joining us here. Kevin Miller in the morning, KIDO Talk Radio. Phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. But, you know, on the other hand, when you're saying that it does impact the markets, because if people can't fly, they can't hit commerce, you don't have a trade delegation at Davos, you can't meet with the Chinese, eventually that is going to hit your beloved markets, right?
Well, eventually it would if we shut the government for ages and ages and people just didn't show up anymore to work. But slowing down, it did slow down TSA. That wouldn't have been fun to travel. I fortunately haven't been for a while. But at the same time, we continued. And like I said, the markets are doing fine and they weren't overly concerned that we would like never have a deal. And the answer is we do have a deal. At least for 3 weeks.
Right. So what does that mean for the next 3 weeks?
Probably nothing as far as the markets go, really. As far as the economy, it's minimal. It's just that the news cycle requires, Kevin, everything to be amazingly bad or, hyperbolic. Everything always is when it comes to news flow. And so we're talking about the impact of the economy is this and that. And they just don't have a story to run with. It would be something like the impact is minimal. You know, because it is minimal.
Well, but it isn't if you have people that are working for the government.
Oh, I'm not saying individuals aren't. Now, that's not what we're talking about.
You can't have it both ways, though.
Oh, really?
Now, would you work for free?
No, hold on here. You're going to paint me in the corner of this guy who's just an absolutely insensitive, horrible person that doesn't care about people.
I would never say that about you, Dave Pezzo.
That was very good. I was nearly hogtied there.
You're very, very defensive here this morning.
Really, yes.
But so the government shutdown is over. We also have this indictment of Roger Stone. Many people think that, okay, if you follow politics, that's a big story. But it does impact the presidency. Roger Stone, very close to the president. I mean, the country doesn't want to go through an impeachment. The country doesn't want to go through this endless things because it undermines the credibility of the office, which does impact your beloved financial institutions.
Yes, yes. Well, those beloved institutions do not like that kind of turmoil, that's for sure. As long as the liberal media is so liberal and over the top liberal,
the libs.
Then I just don't see that this narrative of finding anybody that knows Trump and trying to take him down. I don't see that changing because I've been thinking for a long time that the Democrats have clearly overstepped their bounds of normal behavior, screaming and yelling at the Kavanaugh hearings and all this nonsense that goes on, instead of just, you know, working to convince people that you have a better message. It's just an anti-Trump message. But, you know, the media is just, you know, they're so backed into this. They are absolutely supportive of it, and I just don't see it changing, because if the constant message is in the news is this Russia collusion or Trump's just a bad guy and we got to take everybody down, I just don't know that we're going to see the outrage that we would see if the Republicans were doing this. And we did see that during Clinton. In the impeachment, we saw the media come to his aid. I just don't see that happening. So I don't know that we're going to change that, Kevin.
Dave Petzl joining us. Some of the top local stories. According to Realtor.com, I'll just say the Treasure Valley, they say Boise will continue to be a hot housing market in the next few years. Any surprise there?
No, not at all. Why wouldn't you want to live here? I can't get my daughter out of Seattle, but they're here, it's beautiful.
It is beautiful to a degree, but I mean, we do have our challenges when it comes to flights and that sort of thing. If you want to get away from it all, this is perfect. But if you want to be a cosmopolitan kind of guy like you, man of the world,
it's not bad.
You have to go to Reno.
It's not bad. We have everywhere covered south. We have everything covered west. And yes, you can get to Denver or Chicago. That's not too bad for making any connections you need to.
Sometimes Dallas.
And, yeah, they do.
They got the big long one to Dallas.
Yep. Maybe again, the south is pretty good. It's not bad. Yeah.
And, you know, Salt Lake, if you will.
Mm-hmm. So there's let's just say, for those of us who have been here around here a long time,
right.
Air travel was expensive and difficult to do out of Boise. This is really looking good.
You follow banking at all, Dave Petzl, at the Petzl Center, Petzl Financial?
Follow it how?
Well, you know, we have Capital One opening like virtual banks.
Oh, yeah.
Chase now adding a commercial private bank to downtown Boise. What does that really mean?
Oh, it's very interesting what's happening in finance, of course, with online banking. It's going to change everything. I don't know how long the old model of having, you know, 20 branches in your area is going to continue.
Now, There you go again. Celebrating the elimination of workers. What are you talking about? They're not going to be bankers and stuff
not
like that.
Not celebrating it at all. Just following the trend.
Okay.
Following the trend.
Please continue.
Yes. We are all going to be, as they say, you already can. We, for example, we don't mail checks out of our office. We scan them in. So do people on their own cell phones. They get their paychecks and scan
them
in.
Not me.
No,
I
don't
no
either.
Checks.
I don't either.
I send checks out.
Yeah.
My wife laughs at me, but I send out checks. I don't trust the machines.
You don't trust the machines?
Right. I don't trust the machines.
All right. You trust that people won't steal your mail.
That's right. That's right, because we've got the postal inspectors that will make sure that doesn't happen. Back to the good government here.
There you go.
Yeah. And they're essential.
And they will be there. Bam.
That's right.
You make a call, the postmaster's at your house.
That's right.
With the SWAT team.
Well, that would be for Roger Stone. Okay, let's
move
on.
Wasn't that something? That was really amazing.
Oh,
I did notice that, Kevin. Sorry, I didn't mean to digress.
No, go ahead.
No, I just thought that was astounding that CNN gets a heads up to this. And why would a guy that doesn't have any background at all have 20-plus SWAT team guys or fully dressed FBI agents? It just makes no sense. It makes no sense. This is a two-tier justice system. It's very sad.
It is. Dave Petzl joining us here at the Petzl Center. You're a Starbucks guy?
No, I'm not, actually. I don't particularly like their coffee.
What do you make of Howard Schultz deciding that he's going to run for president or thinking about it? Last night on CBS, the libs are upset about it, but your thoughts?
Why would the libs be upset?
The CEO of Starbucks, yeah. Because he's going to pull away from the eventual liberal presidential candidate.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Well, I think it's interesting that a liberal business person calling himself a centrist, which, of course, compared to what was happening with the Democratic Party these days, anybody that doesn't sound like a raving socialist or communist is somebody who must be leaning to the right. So I think that that's a very interesting thing. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see Bloomberg in that same camp. In fact, I would be shocked if he doesn't run. So I think Schultz is coming out early, trying to, if he can, cordon off that position. because Bloomberg has clearly had clearly been staking it out. Whether he ran or not, I don't know. But he certainly made a lot of noise for a couple years, and he hates Trump more than anything in the world. So that's pretty evident on his websites.
But really, can an independent? I mean, this guy's going to throw millions of dollars.
Only a billionaire can.
Well, he's a billionaire. He's one of the richest.
That's what I mean. I think that they could.
What do you make of that?
I mean, Trump was basically independent. The Republican Party hated him.
But Trump didn't spend a lot of money. Trump was cheap Charlie.
Yeah, he was.
Trump was, you know, three or four people, if that.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I don't disagree. I don't really know how much he spent, but.
But in your lifetime, you know, we could go back to Ross Perot. We could go do that sort of thing.
Anderson, yeah.
Right, but Anderson, he was kind of a kook.
Yeah, he was.
A lovable kook, but
a kook. But yeah, Perot wasn't.
Perot, well, when he was dancing to I'm Crazy and stuff, but Perot really had. A lot of us believe that if Perot wanted to, he could have been president.
If he wanted to.
Remember,
he just wanted to destroy Bush?
He did, but not once but twice, the Republican Party. You remember this, Dave Pezzo, because you were active. You were an adult at that time.
Yes.
I was just a little child. I was thinking preschool. But Ross Perot was actually, remember when he was winning, he was beating both Bush and Clinton.
Yeah.
And then he decided to get out. And then Bush, remarkably, was coming up and beating Clinton. Then he got back in, and that was Katie barred the door.
Gotcha. I don't remember him getting in and out. I do.
Well, that's because
I do remember because he thought the FBI was spying on his daughter or something.
Well,
like
it's just because he wanted to sing that. And then when he got out the first time, it was to that song "Crazy." And he was dancing with his daughters.
Yes, right.
But again, that's why you were, you know, you have a life, and I was busy living politics, trying to be Sean Hannity Jr. More coming up with Dave Pezzo, 107.5 FM, 580 AM. You're listening to KIDO Talk Radio. Kevin Miller with Dave Pezzo. I don't know if you're are you a defensive Dave Pezzo? Are you fired up this morning? You seem got a lot of energy. Maybe your time at Channel 7, that sort of thing.
I'm feeling pretty mellow. Actually, I'm in good shape. I'm actually feeling very good.
Well, you were arrested over the weekend.
I was. Probably
again, some exotic location like Reno or Jackpot or
pretty much my house. But
right,
yeah.
Same thing. So we take a look at just some of the big stories going on. It's been a while here, so let me ask you, what should we be looking out for this week when we're talking about watching our 401ks, our IRAs?
Yeah, earnings. They're all coming out this week. We've got everybody. I think it's Google, Apple, Facebook, all the big companies, or not all, but most of the big companies are announcing this week that are market moving. We saw a great week last week with the chip stocks, which was fantastic, like our local boys at Micron. Wow, did their stock run last week? It was crazy, considering that Intel announced very disappointing numbers and a very disappointing outlook. All the other chip stocks took off, and of course, including Micron. So, again, that's not seeing a slowdown at all. That's seeing future very good things coming. So we'll see what's happening this week with the big tech stocks. That will be market moving.
Indeed. What else should we be looking out for here in the Treasure Valley? I have something for you. I have a little news breaking story. Are you in favor of repealing the grocery tax?
Yeah, I guess I'm not as married to it as you, but the answer is yes.
Yeah,
I am.
You are.
I just think it's fundamentally unfair.
Yes or no, sir?
Yes, Kevin. I am in favor of repeal of the tax.
Fair enough. I'm glad you're talking slowly so I can understand. However, you know, we...
I thought I was being very political there.
You've heard of Tommy Ahlquist, haven't you?
Every day, Kevin, I've heard of him.
So Tommy Ahlquist and I, we do a podcast called Inspire Excellence.
Yeah.
So we were taping it. We had a chance to speak with Mike Moyle and Matt Erpelding, House Majority Leader, House Minority Leader.
Very nice. Good group.
And I put it to him. I said, Mike Moyle, is the repeal going to happen this year?
Yeah.
He said no.
I heard you say that. I think I heard you say that
right
here last week. Yeah.
He said no. So how would you respond to that?
Why not?
As someone who balances money, you're like a money guy, right?
I think so.
You know a little about money.
A little bit.
You love the money.
I do.
And I'm not saying that in a bad way.
No, so, I know what you're saying.
So what I don't understand is, and again, let's face it, out of the two of us, I would raise my hand to be the simpleton. And I would embrace that, okay? I would gladly embrace the title of a simpleton because lower expectations, okay?
Okay.
So the state has a significant budgetary shortfall.
Okay.
$60 million.
Yep.
Now, the state purchased $150 million in HP and blah, 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 and everything else. But how in the world can you, as someone who covers big business, how all of a sudden can all of a sudden, whoops, we have a $60 million shortfall? You remember in Nampa several years ago where They had a $2 or $3 million shortfall. It cost a lot of people jobs in that school system.
Yep.
How does that happen?
Oh, it's government, Kevin. How does it happen? It happens to government every single day. You know, or a road that they just make it up and say to taxpayers, a school, we just need a one-time override. We're going to fix schools. It'll be fine. Override levies are constant. It's constant. They spend every nickel that comes in and they go, wow, can you believe the schools are falling down? Can you believe the deterioration of the schools? It's like they don't deteriorate. It's crazy, but that's the way government is because they try to sell. They think that we are beyond dumb, that we can't ever figure it out, that government always underbids, overpromises, and underdelivers. Everything they do, 100% of the time, they never, ever meet expectations.
Well, and the challenge here, and look, it's easy to beat up on the legislators, which we do quite a bit. However, they did ask for this job, and it is a sacrifice, and they come in and they try and figure this out, the state of the republic, but I don't understand it, you know, when all of a sudden you're not going to make as much money, go, well, I need to cut back. I mean, you can't tell me that over the year, well, when it got to $30 million,
right?
Let's just say it was like on your, oh, I don't know, one of my great dependents, a Discover card or a Visa card or something of that nature.
Yep.
When it gets over the limit, you go, whoops, I got to stop spending.
Well, and it's kind of absurd, too, when you think about it. If we're having a hard time now. Okay.
With the good times.
With an incredible economy and the whole world moving to Idaho.
Right.
What's going to happen in the next recession? I mean, I've been a huge supporter of what Butch did in 2008 because he took a lot of heat to make some cutbacks before it got really bad.
Very painful cutbacks.
They were, yeah. and it turned out to be prescient. It really was. He really made some good cuts. Now, I don't know how we got to a position where now that good times are rolling, we find ourselves with deficits. That's bad. Now, I want to pose this question to you, though, Kevin, regarding this, because this is a question I would like to know. I know you're bringing up this campus, but I don't think that just comes out of the budget, does it? Isn't that kind of a building budget?
No,
they spent $150, so we're actually $90 million to the good. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, hold on. Remember, I'm the one raising my hand saying I'm the simpleton on KIDO Talk Radio. They found the money, and, you know, it was maybe $130. They actually overbid our friend Tommy. You heard of Tommy Ahlquist, right? Tommy Ahlquist, $40 million over his thing. He disclosed that on this program. However, I don't know if you are having trouble with your money. Do you really need to buy the HP campus? And by the way, the HP campus, you've got to have to fix it up. I am thankful that the state is actually mowing the lawn in front on Chinned.
Right.
HP kind of let it go. And here we go back to Dave Petzl. Okay, you're a big fan of Netflix.
For what they do, yeah. I mean, I'm not a big TV watcher, so
right.
The answer's
you like to, you know, you go out and you hike and you fish and you
I do weird
raft
things like that. Hang around, talk to people.
Right, you're like an old video game called Pitfall, and you're like Pitfall Harry, just an adventure guy, like an Indiana Jones type of guy. Right.
Right. Oh yeah. As long as it's not dangerous.
Exactly. Well, I would consider hiking dangerous. Netflix.
Yeah.
Netflix. They're going to raise their prices again.
Yep.
I'll pay it
because I can dial in what I want.
Can you?
Yeah. I mean, it's like I go, not totally. I get that. There are certain shows you can't. But I have enjoyed the Longmire, for example, series. Now, it may take me 7 years to get through it.
Right.
But the idea of no commercials.
Sure.
And once in a while, it's like, hey, we got 45 minutes. You want to watch Longmire? It's like, great. Yeah, let's do it. And so that's a nice thing to be able to do because sometimes it's hard to just kind of like find a movie or, you know, if you're just wanting to chill out. Because I just don't like commercial TV at all. The drama, the reality TV, all that stuff.
But Longmire is commercial TV.
It was.
Right.
It's now not.
Sure.
But the answer, Kevin, is when you can dial in and do what you want to do, I think that people will gladly do it. And you saw the stock react very well to that idea.
Would you be our Walt Longmire here of the Miller Show of KIDO Talk Radio?
Absolutely. You know what? I've been begging you to go out here so I can get my guns and all that, and I can learn how to shoot. And I'm happily pack.
Right. You would be would I be like the Henry, or would I be the overweight guy? Tess or Fess or whatever his name is.
What is his name?
Yes, exactly.
Ferd.
Nobody wants to be Ferd.
No, they don't want to be Ferd.
Nobody wants to be Ferd. Dave Petzl with us here, KIDO Talk Radio. So Netflix doing well. Facebook continuing to adjust to the ever-changing social media world. Going back to you know, history, the Gilded Age, where you had Carnegie and Rockefeller and all these guys. It is a, you know, is it worth a trip, do you think, to San Francisco to check out just the moguls of Silicon Valley and how ridiculous it is there?
You can't even get there. You know, it's not. It's so busy. What you have is you've and spread out.
Right.
They're when they talk about Silicon Valley, it's not like a couple blocks.
It's not like Music Row or something like that.
Correct.
Right.
Exactly. It's not. And so you have all this going on, and they're all very well connected. And I understand if you're a billionaire why you live there, because you just are going to stay a billionaire. You've got all these startups. You finance a few. A couple of them hit home runs, and that's all you need. And it really does. It's a very insular place. But you're starting to hear things come out about that area that they do. Even people there that are talking about it feel it's just too insular. They don't have any outside thought at all. And boy, we need more of that. You know, imagine if what Google is doing out there and Facebook by censoring outside opinions. This is not good for our society.
Now, it's unfortunate that you don't like commercial television.
Why is that?
There's a great show. I believe it's on National Geographic Channel. It's called Valley of the Boom.
Valley of the Boom.
And it goes back to, you remember Netscape?
Yes.
Right. It details and it kind of talks to the real life people, and it got kind of a docudrama of the beginning of Netscape. Remember, Netscape was the original, like, awesome browser.
It was, yeah.
Right. And again, Microsoft tried to, you know, snuff that and actually did. I think they acquired Netscape, something like that.
Yeah, bury it.
Right, there was a lawsuit or something like that. And then, you know, Apple and such. But, I mean, Netscape was really Apple on steroids at the time.
It was. Yeah.
Right. But it's fascinating to go back to the beginning of the internet. And remember how everybody talks about Facebook and Facebook is this?
Yep.
There was actually something before MySpace. It was called theglobe.com. That had the same concept.
Mm-hmm.
So, Dave Petzo, as someone who studies this, why do some ideas work and some ideas don't?
Timing, a lot of times, because what you're really seeing in this is that you saw there's a number of things. You have to see it through, okay? One of the things that Facebook did so well is that they raised a ton of capital, kept raising capital to stay in the game, and did not have any intention initially of turning of figuring out how to collateralize a billion faces. And so they didn't turn too early to making money. They turned way late, and I don't mean too late, I mean perfectly, where they had built this out, this entire thing that people loved.
Right.
Got to a billion faces. And I remember you and I talking about this.
Got you addicted. Facebook's
Facebook's valuation's too high, blah, blah, blah. And you hear people talking about that because they're not making any money. And the answer always was, if you have a billion people that show up and spend time on your website, you're going to make money. You're going to figure out how to commercialize that. And they certainly did.
Yeah.
And that's what they did differently. They had so much capital, they could do it. That is one of the main things. There's not a single answer as to why people fail. There's multiple answers, but capital's one of them.
One of your boys, Peter Thiel.
Yes.
Right.
He's one of the good guys in Silicon Valley, pointing out the problems.
Just like Dave Petzo, the Petzo Center, Petzo Financial, on Twitter, on Facebook, and every Saturday, 8 to 10, Money Matters. You gonna be here this Saturday?
I will be.
That's so refreshing.
Two in a row.
Yes. We're getting the momentum back.
And I got to tell you, it's like 9 out of the last 10, okay?
Which is more than I can
say. Mr. Hawaii.
Yeah, more than I can say. Dave Petzo, we so appreciate you. Thank you, sir.
Love being here, Kevin.
Love having you.
Well, thank you.
Yes,
thank you.
Enjoy the
guys. Thank you for staying here in Boise. You're a talented guy that brings a lot to us. Thank you.
Where else would I go? Who else would, hold on. Who else would have me? You're listening to KIDO Talk Radio.
Hello and good morning. I hope you all will join us today at 580-5436-580-KIDO. And I am so sorry today for the doom and gloomers. Just been terrible week for them. Just terrible. You know, I mean, Bloomberg, which is always negative all the time. You got Barron's, it's the same thing. It's just, the market is overpriced. The market is horrible. The economy is terrible. It's always that. Always that. And what are we going to do now for the CNBCs and the Fox Business? I mean, nobody's going to watch anymore. Because it's okay again. It's been a tough week. It's actually been a tough month. But I mean, you know, seriously, they shut down the government and the jobs report is good. The economy is rolling, even though the government was shut down. They're dysfunctional in D.C. You know, that's really news, huh? That's really amazing. It's so weird that there's dysfunction there. Corporate profits are being announced, and the stocks are going up. What's going on? I mean, if you're a doom and gloomer, it's just tough right now because people are working. Jobs are being created at an unbelievable rate. Like, never in history have we done this. Never has it been this good. And when you're trying to explain to those students in your extreme liberal schools, colleges, that government needs to put more money and inject it, and that's how the economy works. You know, if you just spend more money, we get better economies. And just didn't work that way for Obama. And then when we get government out of the way, it just booms. You just like you just those poor professors. They're wrong. It's wrong. And it just turns their world upside down. And even though they double down for the last couple of years, it just keeps working. Those poor people. I don't know. What are they going to do? Just at some point, do they retire? Do they go away? Do they change their tune? No, they won't. Not at all. Not at all, because if you're negative and you're negative all the time, it's okay. That's who you are. It's all right. In fact, you sound kind of intelligent. And if you just simply grew up learning that, by golly, you know, this is the way we do things, you don't need to change your mind in the face of facts. I think you become more entrenched, more, that's just the way we do it here. We just need to spend more money. More government spending equals better economy. But, sir, that would mean that places like Brazil would be dominating the world. Wouldn't it? Oh, don't bother me with facts and observations. This is what we learn. And this is what me as a left, oh, I didn't say that out loud, did I? As a leftist believes. And so we get this constant flow of negativity, even when things are good. We get this constant flow of how the economy and the markets should work that comes from a bias instead of reality. This is kind of important, actually. It's not just, I'm not here just to make fun of the poor doom and gloomers and Bloomberg and, oh my gosh, and he's trying to launch a presidential bid, and then he's got Schultz running out there, and that's just, oh my gosh, poor billionaire man. And he hates Donald Trump. But the economy's working. It's important because when we take in these data points that sometimes we call news, they call news, but unfortunately, sometimes we think it is. We listen to it. We draw it in. We let it happen to us. Oh, that's an important tidbit. No, it's not. It's noise. And it clutters our thinking. And if you're constantly hearing bad, 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 what do you think that does to your psyche? Well, I'm just trying to open up. You know, I just wanted some more inputs. I just need to get some more data. No, I understand the human drive. When you don't know what's out there, you want more data, right? You like, I always like the analogy that you're flying an airplane, and it's in a terrible storm, and you can't see. You've got to get data. You got to get information. How high up are we? What's up ahead? Is there a mountain in coming at me? All of those things that are leading you to really laser focus, I need more data. When we're dealing with the unknown coming at us, and we're dealing with all of the pressure of the doom and gloom crowd, which is just constant, pick up your phone, go online, see how your stocks are doing. Why don't we push the button and see what our net worth is this second? Because that matters a lot for the income for the rest of our life. Oh, well, I just want to fill in the blank, right? I just want to look. I just want, it's something I do. It's no.
you know, that something you do is noise. And it leads us to be thinking and seeing and taking in incorrect data. It may not even be incorrect, but it's just this constant reading of negativity. It's all bad. I mean, sometimes, for example, literally, this is true. I mean, this is really a neat thing about working in a small office, right? We don't have groupthink. We just have a group of people, and we just sometimes can sit around and noodle, and then we get people that come in and you know, our partners, wholesalers, whatever you want to call them, and they come in and they've got their ideas from all of their economists and their strategists and their money managers, and sometimes they're in conflict, right? Which is good. You're getting different data points. These people like this. This one likes that with something else, and somebody else hates this, and they all like it. It's a good thing. One of the things that I just really enjoy is to sit down with my dad, because you know he's been in the industry a couple years longer than I have. So we got he made a shift midlife. I just started off in this industry. Lucky me. And it's just good to kind of sit there and say, well, what are you hearing? What are you seeing? And talking this over. Where you have a chance to look at from a 10,000 foot level instead of screaming at the TV. Buy, 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 sell, 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 blah, 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 blah. And you're just rapid fire trying to sell advertising. Instead of just taking a step back and looking at things. It's just nice to be able to talk things through about what's different, what's the same, what are we seeing wrong. We're not afraid to be wrong. We're not afraid to change our mind because we're not set on anything. And it is a wonderful thing to be able to do that and to sit back. And obviously, it's an honor to do that with your father. But and that's a neat thing. But what I'm really saying is not just my dad, but that happens to be me, but somebody with a vast amount of experience as well, and a different experience. It's not like we worked together for all of those years. It's to kind of come together with different people, with different talents, and see the world differently, and put those steps together, but with the common thought that we're not stuck on anything, that we want to be open to the idea that the world is different, that what we learned isn't working anymore. That technology is changing some things. Not to be soft and just twist in the wind. Not to, if you will, to use a political analogy, be like a Bill Clinton. I'm just going to see which way the wind is blowing, and that's the direction I'm going. I feel, hold on, one sec. That's how I feel about that particular subject over there. Is to know the political winds. I don't mean to be weak in your saying, hey, for example, the way to wealth is to stay out of debt, to put money in the stock market, and to leave it alone. That is a simple, absolute fact that I believe long past when I'm here will be the truth. Period. The truth. That we are our own greatest enemies. That is an underlying truth. But when we think about the world and the change in it, like the doom and gloomers are always just doom and gloom, and they never stop to say, what could go right? What if, for example, what if the government reopens? What if China quit stealing technology? What if they stop just being a bad actor in the world? What if? What if we have a NAFTA deal? Oh, we do. What if the economy does better when we have less regulation? What if everybody is employed? What if we don't have a recession? What if we're not in the ninth inning for the 23rd inning? Right? How many times have we heard that? Nonsense, right? Well, we're late in the game now. We're in late innings of this particular economic cycle. I'm going to be dead before we're in the last inning, I think. You know, I mean, this is unbelievable how many years we have to put up with this drivel. And the same people are out going, well, it's late in the innings now. Just die and go away, okay? I mean, it's the same people, the same stuff, just the same act. And what we have to do is we've got to somehow stop that input or at least slow down all those negative inputs. Or you can't ever ask the question, what could go right? Isn't it natural human beings to always think what's wrong? It is. But we don't have to do that. It's natural for man to want woman, ugh. But we don't knock them down and just take them because we're stronger than them. But that's our natural instinct. We don't have to act on it just because, you know, well, you know, naturally I'm kind of an Eeyore. I know. But that doesn't mean you have to be that way and make your investment decisions that way. And the world isn't going to end, and it never has. And that's the facts in front of us. You don't have to sit and listen to Bloomberg. You don't have to sit and listen to Barron's. You don't have to sit and listen to nonstop, bye, 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 sell, sell, sell. I'm a bull. I'm a bear. I'm a bull. I'm a bear. Yesterday I was a bear, but I'm a bull now because stop it. Things don't change like that. You can dial back. We can. It's true. We really, really can. But the doom and gloomers, like I said, they're really having a tough bunch of years here because stuff just isn't working the way they want, particularly for the libs. And there's many of them, as we know, in the media. All of media is. But when you have media commentators in finance, there are mostly, not all, but mostly their libs. They can't stand it that the economy just keeps getting better under Donald Trump. So they look for bad things. And the market keeps working. It doesn't fall apart. But they only report what's bad. It's up to you and I to look past everything and have those discussions. Sit down with your dad, meaning wise person, right? You sit down, you discuss things, and you talk about what can go right? What's different? What am I missing? Where can we learn? Right? It's not losing the fundamental who you are to say, what am I doing wrong? Not at all. To challenge yourself. To challenge your thought process and to not just let the doom and gloom in is really, I think, really good thinking. It's really good growth. Well, what if, I mean, you just go ahead and fill it out. Like, what if this happens? What if you're right. And what if it doesn't happen? Huh? Well, but what if? I know. All right, I got to go. We got to get a break out of the way, huh? We're almost out of time here. All right. Our number is 580-5436. 580-KIDO. I'd love to fill up today's program with what you want to talk about. There's lots of good news out there. And Friday's jobs report was killer, stellar, period. Just put a period, no buts, just a period on the end of that. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and once again, thanks for joining us. If you prefer email, that's fine. It's dave@petsofinancial.net, PETSOfinancial.net. And our number here, love to hear from you, is 580-5436, 580-5436. KIDO. You know, I never know. This is, I don't know why I'm even saying this, but it's a funny thing. It just kind of came up in my head. It's like I have all these little tidbits from the week, you know, and I never really know what I'm going to talk about. I don't. It's a funny thing that, you know, the light goes on here and bam, you just start going and it just, you just grab onto something. But my point to saying this is that this program, in my mind, is your program, okay? It's not mine. I want you to be able to come and call in and tell me what kinds of things you want to talk about. These are just things that bounce around in my head. And when I have kind of a week like I did this week where I'm kind of philosophical, I'm dealing with some things, a client's death, things like that that kind of stir you up. You know what I mean? They kind of stir you up inside, and you deal with some various things in life, and sometimes it's really quite emotional, and it stirs up those thoughts. But you also, not just those thoughts of emotions, but it brings up some different things. It's kind of like, for some reason, people sometimes fall in the right mood together, right? What I mean by that is you get everybody's just kind of like on the same page. You know what? Let's take a few minutes to bounce some ideas around, type of thing. And everybody's really tuned in. And it was that kind of a week. It was that kind of a week where you just felt like, things are pretty, are bumping along nicely. And you're having some new insight, if you will. I want to talk about one of the things that I did think I wanted to talk about today was being clever by half. And I want to introduce this for the next hour, okay? I'm going to come back and talk about this a little bit because it's a really important point in investing. Super important. Something I remind myself we do all the time. Okay? There are basically four types of people in the world, right? There's four types, okay? And this is not, you're not one type. You're one type in various areas of your life, right? Okay. Meaning, there's people that know, and they know stuff in an area. They're experts, right? And they know. That's a powerful person. There are people that know, but they don't really know they know. They're very good at what they do. They just don't know how good they are. Now, when we go along the bottom axis, if you will, you now run into people that are quite dangerous. There are people that don't know, but they think they know stuff. Now, they're deadly dangerous, right? Now, less dangerous, of course, by far, are people that don't know, but they know they don't know, okay? They're not out proposing things that are, like, silly. But what we've got to be careful of is that we think we're so smart. And we're not. We don't know. And we've got to be careful about that. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that and what it does in investing. Okay? So let's talk about that in the next hour. And, of course, take your calls and your emails. Dave@PetzelFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. Hour number two upcoming, and of course, these are my opinions and my opinions only, and we're not here to tell you what to buy, or sell. That's just silliness, and it is. It is. It leads us further from the truth. It maybe even leads us into thinking there's some way we could have a product that has the ability to keep up with the market and not lose money at the same time. Yeah, they don't do that. I'm sorry about that. They have products that don't lose money, but they don't keep up with the market either. And you know what? We all know that. In your heart, you know that. And when we just don't address those questions, like pretending we have some kind of I'm bullish today, I'm bearish tomorrow. We want to zig and zag and do this. That's just not true. Study after study, statistic after statistic shows that. I mean, it's just blatant. But as I introduced this, finished up the last hour talking about the basic four different types of people that we have in different aspects of our life, and I think it's very important to address all of that in our life, right? Like, for example, what do I think in my life? I mean, as a refresher, in case you just joined us, right? We're talking about the four basic types of people or in this skill set, okay? Like, this is what I do, okay? So I'm a financial advisor, and you know what? I know I'm good. I know I'm good, and I am. You have people that are good at something, but they don't necessarily know that they are. That's fine, right? That's great. But you have people who are not good at it, but they think they are. And not so dangerous are people that know that they don't know that area, right? They're not so dangerous, right? Okay, so we've got these different types of people, right? And you kind of go, all right. If we if we're not careful in what aspect of our life, but let's, I just want to go with finance. I think it's a fun question to ask yourself all the time, right? In everything. But we're talking finance here. What am I misreading in the world about finance? Because maybe I'm just really a smart person. I could be a rocket scientist for all I know. Okay? Right? I mean, I know my stuff. My keyboard's dead. My screen's dead. I don't know who's on the phone. Whoever is, hang in there. We'll get to you, okay? That's all. And we'll just pull you up here in a minute, but it's dead. I'm sorry about that. All right, sorry. I got distracted when equipment just goes down, okay? Back to what I'm saying. When we think about this and we think about the world, and this happened this week, okay? So a smart person came in, brought mother-in-law in, who's been really, really happy. Yeah, been a client for like 18 years. Made an unbelievable amount of money. Really did. Really did well, right? Very happy. Unfortunately for this person, thought he knew a lot and had gone on and done some additional work on the small account that mom had. Well, and that's fine. That's great. It's good that people are there to help out. But he didn't know what he was talking about. And I don't know how to do it in a nice way because he knew what he was doing, or he thought he knew what he was doing. And so we all have to be careful when we're talking about finance, or this is the way it works. And as I kind of introduced in the first hour, we have got to be careful with what our own little bias is. What do I think I know that I don't? What am I wrong about? What am I wrong about? What do I take from one area of my life where I'm really, really, really smart? And I think and I over-apply that to something else. And when it comes to investing, we read little snippets all the time. That's why I say it's really important to get your inputs right. So I read a little column in the Wall Street Journal, right? And they say, what you need to do is you need to have a 60% stock portfolio and 40% bond portfolio, and you can take out 4% per year. It's called the rule of 4%. You probably have heard of it, and everybody's written 10,000 articles about it. Okay? So you read that and you go, yep, that's what I'm going to do, and I got it. I'm going to put it all in the S&P 500, and then I'm going to put 40% in a bond index. Bam. Low cost, because that's what I learned. It's all about low cost. Drive those costs down. I got this thing nailed. And you run out of money. And you don't have a 90% chance of making it successful. You have a 0% chance of that working. He said, well, wait a minute. No, the article told me this. The academia told me this. That's the studies say that. But do you know what the basis of the studies are? And where interest rates are today? Well, interest rates are low, right? I mean, they're low. Yeah, but what is the basis that says on a Monte Carlo simulation that you could end up with 90% certainty of 4% income and not run out of money? Well, I don't know what the inputs are. Why would I want to know that? I read articles. You know, I'm up on this stuff. If you don't know what the inputs are, then you can never question the inputs. You don't ever know what you're actually looking at. That's just one example. Are interest rates at 8%? No, they're not at 8%. Then why are they in the model? Well, that's just the way we do it. You see, if you don't understand what the ground conditions are and what the actual data that they're putting in, bad data in, bad data out. Simple, easy. And so we have to be really careful about what we think we know, because it can be deadly dangerous. This woman is 88 years old. She's not going to live forever. She's not going to run out of money. It just really doesn't matter. That's not what this is about. It doesn't matter that she was really happy. And that seems like a really good idea to put her into a 1% CD. Okay, let's go do that. Why not? She's not going to run out of money, okay? It's fine. But what if we're making big mistakes? You know, I've been in this industry for a long, long time, and you see people do this all the time. I probably see it two or three times a month where somebody really knows what they're talking about, and they don't. But they think they do. And they may be advising mom who has millions of dollars. And this is a big lifestyle to go with it. And you know what I'm saying? They may not be advising on, you know, a tiny account. It may be a big deal. But we get this all the time. And it's not just in finance, it's in everything we have to be careful of. But imagine if because I've been financially successful and I'm a really good financial guy. If I then say, you know, I think I'm going to do cars, you know, because I got that. I got this thing. I know how to do it. You know, and so I read a book on cars. And now I'm an expert on cars? Pretty crazy, isn't it? I mean, this idea that we can simply take things from one place to another where all you have to do is like buy the S&P 500, then life is good. Is crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy simple, but it's also crazy stupid. We can't do that. I could do my taxes, but why would I do that? I could, but why would I? My accountant's brilliant in that area. Doesn't think he's brilliant in finance. We work together that way. Isn't that weird? It's how professionals do. But one of my closest buddies is a doctor. All I do is ask him stuff. I don't question stuff because I don't know stuff. Now, could I go online and read a lot of stuff and maybe, just maybe get it right, but I might not get it right. And that could be dangerous. So I ask. Because, see, he knows what the inputs are. He knows what the data is. He knows when he's reading BS and when he's reading good information. He knows it because he's trained and he's experienced. I need to know when I'm reading BS. And so I hire experts when I'm reading BS. We have to be careful with this in all areas of our life, and we see it all the time. This isn't a sales pitch to go get a financial advisor. If you got it, you got it, okay? But be careful what you think you know, because you just might not. You just might not, and it might be really deadly. That's what we have to be careful of. I saw it this week. Man, did I see it this week. I feel sorry for the guy. I really do. I'm not angry at it at all. I'm sad for mom because she was happy before all this happened. But she's happy anyway because she's a happy person. And she's well cared for and they love her and it's all good. But I'm sorry when people are stuck in a situation where they can't even listen. They can't hear because they know what they know. Let's not be clever by half. Let's grow together in 2019. Let's figure out what's different, what's changed. And like I said last week, it was a reflective week. It was really an interesting thing to sit around and think about and talk about what's working in the world, what's not, and what is changing. Because it is changing, right? We talk about capital spending is low. I wonder why. Let me give you an example. I know a small business, us, that has less administrative staff than we did when the business was 5 times smaller. That's called technology. When they're building cars, do they buy more robots or build more factories? Right? The spending's down because of technology, isn't it? Aren't these the kind of questions we need to be asking ourselves when we're saying, why is inflation so low if we're injecting so much money, if there's trillions of dollars sitting on the balance sheet? Why? If interest rates are so low, why, with a full jobs market, aren't we getting inflation? Why? If wages are rising, isn't that good? Yes, but it's not causing any inflation. Why? Instead of looking at the old textbooks, we should be asking those kind of questions all the time so that we are thinking and we're not stuck on what we think we know. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Jim, I'm going to pull you up on the other side of this break so we can stay on time, okay? Because I ran a little late last hour. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you again for joining us. Appreciate it very much. And John, thank you. This was a great, just got this sent, texted actually. So John, thank you so much. It's a Mark Twain quote. It ain't what you don't know that gets you into trouble. It's what you know for sure that just ain't so. Isn't that the truth? I mean, that's what we're saying, right? It's just we got to be careful about what we really know. Thanks, Mark Twain, and thank you, John, for sending that along. Appreciate it very, very much. Jim, thank you for holding. Go ahead, please, sir.
Morning, Dave. How's it going?
Excellent. Thank you.
Well, this being Super Bowl weekend, this may be a good time to bring up this analogy. Most everybody likes football. Okay, now, annuities would be playing defense, I think you would agree.
Mm-hmm.
And equities and investing in the economy would be offense. Okay, now you can't win on defense, and by definition, if you don't win, you lose.
Right.
Okay, now the offensive team, the economy, is a good team and has a good quarterback and does very well. Now, occasionally, the quarterback will get sacked, fumble, or throw an interception. However, it's still a good team and keeps going.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said quite a few times, right, more likely than not, right after a steep decline, there's a steep increase.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've seen many games where, you know, it's exciting and all that kind of thing, and your team, you know, fumbles, and you think it's the end of the world. And then I'll be damned, the very next play, the other team fumbles the ball back to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anyway, that's a good analogy.
I think it's a very good analogy, actually. I really do, Jim. That's well said. And it does. I think that's the thing with the market that people have to understand. It is, I think, 6 out of the 10 best days occur within, like, 2 weeks. I want to be, I might be, 10 trading days, 2 weeks. Of the worst days. It's just not possible to get in and out and be that good. So when people say, well, I'm out and I missed these really bad down days, you are also saying, therefore, I missed the 10 best days. And guess what happens when you miss the 10 best days? You miss it all. Your returns go to near zero. It's crazy how important it is to catch those days. And we sure have seen it in January, haven't we?
Yeah. I just got my statement, so, and I know it's up. So apparently January was a good month.
January was a very good month. In fact, the best January in 30 years. Can you imagine that? Did it feel like that on Christmas Eve? No. Does it ever feel like that? Nope.
Well, the day after Christmas is what, up 1,000 points?
Yep. So. The dead bottom was actually Christmas, so it, not including the run-up at the end of the year. January is up 8%.
I guess the year in general was the first three quarters of the year was good. I think it was October 8th when things started going down.
It was actually interesting because it was during the what was really the best earnings season announcements like ever. It's just one of those confluence of events that occurs. You don't really know why. And you don't know why sometimes in hindsight, because we don't know why. People were reading in a really bad and deteriorating economy, and they were. But also, we forget this. We forget this in December, because all you're hearing now is the Fed is popping up the market again, as if corporate profits were phony and all that stuff. Again, misleading everything. The doom and gloomers have the media audience, and they do. And so when they're wrong, they don't want to really be wrong, so they say it's really about the Fed. They're not really wrong. The economy really is bad. You know that really good employment report? Forget that. Smoke and mirrors. You know those corporate profit reports? Smoke and mirrors. The fact that the dividends are at record levels, dividend payouts, that's smoke and mirrors. The only reason that anything is working is the Fed is propping it up and giving us phony asset prices with low interest rates. So again, we have to be careful of our inputs, but that's what everybody is talking about. Now, Powell is a hero because he's backed off of raising interest rates. Look, we want to get things normal, but we cannot ignore the fact that the economy is good. Period.
Yep.
Period. Well, no comma buts. Period. It's good.
Tell me, how did your Seahawks Cowboy game go? Party.
Well, the Seahawks lost. So.
Well, you know.
There was general sadness in the house.
Well,
but,
speaking of the Cowboys, and they've hired what's his name?
Kellen.
Yeah, Kellen Moore.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big feather in the old Broncos cap.
It certainly is. He was destined for that, but I think I think that the Cowboys picked up a few fans in the Boise area just because of that.
Yeah, if only they hadn't scheduled that game on the one lightning day in the whole, for probably a year.
I know. That was crazy.
That's true. Anyway, we'll have a great Super Bowl.
Well, Jim, you enjoy, and thank you for your call. And good analogy. I really appreciate it. Thanks.
Thanks so much.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Do give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Let's just rack it up the rest of today's program. I've covered a lot. We'll cover some of this stuff I've got here in the coming weeks anyway. But we've got great jobs. We've got incredible earnings reports. Get this. Home sales were terrible. Have been terrible, right? It's falling apart out there. Home sales are down, 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 down. Home builders aren't doing any good. Home sales surged 17% in November? What the heck? I hate one-month numbers. I really do. I hate quoting one-month numbers. I hate that, okay? But what it is a complete turnaround. So in this case, let's keep our eyeballs on it, okay? I'm not worried about housing anyway. But because I think it's a really minor part of the overall economy, it's a minor indicator because people are moving into homes or they're not. It isn't what it used to be, where the economy had to be rolling before anybody built a house. Interest rates are plenty low enough for people to have mortgages. So I'm not too worried about it. I'm not fixated on this one number. But the economic data generally is awful good. That's what the bottom line is. And when we're getting a lot of noise out there and the doom and gloomers run the media, hate Trump, can't give any credit to anything, and we're getting into another political season, believe it or not, I thought we just got out of one. But no, now everybody's announcing for their presidential run in 2020. So woe is me. We've got to change everything because everything is so bad out there, right? That's going to be the narrative right now. And with a complicit media, that is the narrative. Be careful what our inputs are. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Please do ring us up, 580-KIDO. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. That's our number. We would love to visit with you. As we've talked today, right, it's not... And again, John, thank you for sending along that wonderful text from... for crying out loud, Mark Twain, right? It ain't what you don't know that gets you into trouble. It's what you know for sure that just ain't so. He sure was clever. Wasn't he a clever guy? Had a great way of phrasing things. We don't want to be clever by half, do we? We have got to be smart and not outfox ourselves. Just be smart. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Joe. Joe, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dave. I just started listening, first time calling into your show, but appreciate it.
Thanks for doing so. Yeah.
So my question is, we would like to – I'm trying to figure out, we have a substantial funds that we want to leave, for our daughter. We got a ways to go, maybe 20 years or so, I don't know, but the option of just purchasing gold and keeping it in that form. What's your thoughts on that as far as a vessel for moving those funds on and things like that?
Joe, I don't like it. Number one, it doesn't produce anything, and I don't want to just sit here and beat up on gold. But to me, it's absurd. It's a pretty brick. You can't eat it. It produces nothing. It can't become more productive and change, right? It can't. Mm-hmm. It can't do anything. It sits. Now, the only thing it's good for is getting chicks. So, you know, chicks dig gold. So that's good. You get some stuff for your wife. You should do that. But that's all it's good for. I know through that people talk about it being a store of wealth and things like that. I just want to, and it might be that, okay? But it isn't how you build wealth ever, because it doesn't. When you look back 200 years of history, when you look back 100 years, you look back over 20 years. I look back over my career, and when I started in this industry, literally, gold and the Dow were the same price, 800. Okay? So the Dow was at 800. It's at 25,000 today. Gold is at 1,200. That's it.
Got it. No, yeah.
And it's still, guess what gold still does? Nothing. It produces nothing. So you can't eat off of it. It can't produce a thing. So when you think about what everything else is a productive asset, meaning when we talk about stocks all the time, I know the world makes you think you got to buy and sell and buy and sell and do all this, right? You don't. You got to buy and sit on your hands. And you buy the great corporations of the world, and they send you money every quarter called a dividend. And then next year they raise that dividend. And they ask, what of you? Nothing. They don't want you to come shovel the sidewalk in a snowstorm. They send you thank you letters. Here's more money this year. Here's more. That's your level. But what you have to do is occasionally put up with the psychotic behavior of individuals changing prices. Not values, prices. So the price of something is not necessarily at all the value of it. Is that a fair statement?
No, yeah, it makes sense.
So we have the opportunity from time to time, like in December, to buy some of the greatest corporations of the world, Google, Amazon, Priceline, Netflix, okay? Just little companies, little dinky ones, just getting started. At 25 to 30% off. So you'd think people would be like racing to the store to buy their stocks. But they don't. Mm-hmm. They don't. They run. They wonder, should I sell now? What should I get out? This is really bad. What's going on? I don't know. Isn't it weird that we treat prices that way, not value? We don't see it as a discounted value. Now, those prices have come ripping back, but they're still lower. It's not too late to get into a discount, but it's not going to be a 30% discount. Not now. Some of those companies are up 20%. So what we're seeing is we see price movement, but what's changed? Did Apple cut its dividend? Nope, they're raising it every year. That's what we have to focus on. That's the hard part, because what they do is they just keep raising it. But what we have to do is ignore price. Very hard to do today, and misunderstood by so many market participants that we just don't understand that this is really an income game. It's a long game. It has always worked every long period of time, every one of them. It always works if we don't sell out and we stay in the game. It always works. So if you're trying to leave a pile for your daughter, why don't you do this? Leave a pile by A, living off the dividends, creating a dividend stream of income for you and your bride that you can go have some fun with, take the grandkids. Maybe even take your daughter on a vacation with you too, right? Okay?
Yeah.
And then in the end, she has a bigger pile to boot, but you're enjoying the income in the meantime. If you're only taking income from the portfolio, then Joe, you're not even touching your principal. It just keeps growing, and the income keeps growing. And if prices go down, who cares? The income doesn't go down. It'll come back. The price will. Because price always follows value, and if you're getting more and more income every year, and the stocks, the greatest corporations of the world, have done that for your entire life, for your dad's life, your granddad's life, all of the lives, it keeps doing this. We just turn it into something that's very difficult and hard, and we act like we have to buy and sell. We don't. Buy and hold. Sit on your hands and worry about your attitude, you, not what the markets are doing, and you will do very, very well.
Thank you. Very well put. I really appreciate it.
Joe, thank you for the call. And thanks for listening. Hope we get you back next week, okay? Thanks.
Absolutely.
All right. Have a great day. And our number is 580-543-6580-KIDO. Yes, I get it. Fear sells gold. Fear sells annuities. Ugh. Fear sells no growth. No wealth. It sows the seeds of unhappiness too, doesn't it? Of hoarding and, oh, I'm really worried and all those things. And not a heart of generosity. Not a heart of abundance. But that's okay, because we're selling them. What's in your safe? Gold. I got gold and silver in there because I want to do what washed up actors do. That makes sense to me. I want to follow what somebody that has no financial experience does. That makes sense to me. What I really want to know too is what he thinks I should do about my heart condition. That's what I want to know, because he played a doctor once on TV. I don't know who puts these things together, but I got to tell you, it's crazy when you're watching something like Fox or listening to talk radio. We conservatives must be a bunch of really scared negative Nellies. It's embarrassing to me. It's embarrassing. It really is. I find that just horrifying. Really, is that what we are? Is that what we are? Because I don't see him running all the time anywhere else. I don't see him. I see him picking on, let's run this all the time, for the doomsday people. Golly, we're not doomsday people. We're the only optimists in the room. Only once. Terry, bail me out. Thanks for calling.
Professor Petzl.
How are you, sir?
Good. How about yourself?
Good.
I don't mean to go religious on you here, but seem to remember something from Proverbs once that just says, be still and know. And that sort of, if you relax and just let her happen.
Yeah.
But
I think you forgot the last part. Now, maybe not, but isn't it be still and know that I am God?
I just didn't want to offend anybody.
Oh, I got you. Yeah, be still and know that I am God. I believe that's it. Yes.
Yeah.
That is a great mantra. Isn't that the best?
It is. It makes life so simple.
It really does. It is the best there is. And there's nothing religious about that, in my mind. It's just a truism of life.
Well, as an apostate Lutheran, relaxed agnostic, you know, I don't go there either, so.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. That's good.
But one of the question, you talked about gold a little bit, and that's when I came down and gave my money to Erica. And
yes.
It said gold used to go up when the market went down. You know, there used to be a correlation.
Good point.
And once that stopped happening, that there was something that I didn't understand going on, I said, let's give my money to a professional and relax a little bit more.
No, you know, I remember you talking about that too, Terry, and that relaxation is everything. And that's why when people, I think people also have to be careful, let's say upsetting mom and dad. We've seen that before. Where somebody comes in and mom and dad are just great, and then all of a sudden they have a laundry list of questions that they never would have come up with. Like, well, what happens when Goldman Sachs calls in all the banknotes? Huh?
Yeah.
What? Yeah, our son, you know, he reads a lot online, and these are the questions he's got. Well, it wouldn't matter if I answered them. Number one, I don't know how to answer a question that's moronic, right? I mean, like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Goldman Sachs calling in all the notes? You know, these are conspiracy theories that float around out there, and they put a list together. And I remember them. This goes back several years. He's passed away now. This goes back several years, but I never forget that moment where it was kind of like, I looked at him, I said, before you got this list from your son, were you happy?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yes, we're very happy. Yeah, I mean, they've been clients for like 25 years. You know, it was crazy. they were very happy, right? And it wasn't a complex portfolio. It wasn't a ton of money. They just were happy. And it was just like, why? Why do you do that to your parents? They were happy. And now you got them all fussed up.
Yep,
right?
Just want to help.
Yeah, exactly. I know. So we got to be careful about that. I think we do. But anyway, it doesn't happen very often, thank goodness.
But the question I had was, and this is getting deep into the weeds here kind of thing. People have to invest their money in the market because that's where their 401k, their only way to look forward to a future to have a retirement.
Mm-hmm.
When do we run out of people?
Mm.
You know, the demographics of it all. Sooner or later, you don't have enough employed people put money in the market. But since they have to put the money in the market, it keeps driving the market up.
Yep.
And it was just one of those silly thoughts.
Said, no, it's not silly at all. It's actually talked about all the time. It's I think his name is Dent. Harry Dent is his name.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Wrong Way is also a nickname. Mr. You know. He was the guy that wrote Dow 25,000 when it was much lower. And this goes back decades, right? And then, of course, that was really a good selling book. So he upped the ante and wrote another book at Dow 35,000 right before the market crashed in 2000. Now, that was perfect timing. And then he came out and called for the end of the world as the market ramped higher. But he's a demographics guy. He's always betting on the demographics. And this is like I said, we were really in this mood this week of sitting down thinking about what's different in the world, right? I mean, you just can't use exactly the same models because the world is always different. But technology's changing things in massive ways and at a speed we can't even imagine it's changing, right? And that includes things like for demographics because you are right. As we are getting older, we're having more and more people that are going to live way into their 90s and 100 and beyond. So what are we doing with when we have that many people in retirement? A very fair question. I think that it is also unfair to say that at 65, now that I've quit putting money in my 401k, I take all my money out of the market because I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I still have those stocks. So there's still demand. And then also, when I die, I pass those on. Unless we want non-productive assets or lower productive assets, meaning I want to put it all in CDs at 1%, right?
Yeah.
I don't think people want that. Now, I'm not saying all people are going to own all stocks, but all people are not going to own, not everybody's going to sell all of their stocks either. And that's the demographic argument that I think is wrong. Is it just because we have less workers coming up and more retirees spending money, not putting away? They're spending income from their investments, not the investment itself. It's not going away. And it also drives the economy and so on and so forth. So I don't think that is something to worry so much about, but it is a fascinating question. Demographics matter. It's why countries like Japan are growing so slowly and having so much difficulty. Very bad demographics. Right.
Yeah, they're lost years, they call it, I think.
They do, and they also, they will not, I know we're racists and all that stuff here in the great mixing bowl of America, but I'm telling you, the rest of the world is really doesn't like foreigners, period. They don't.
Learn from the Air Force Equal Opportunity and Treatment Program. You got to hate everybody equally.
Yeah, you got.
So.
That's good. Terry, thank you. Good question.
You only made me $2,800 this week, so not that I checked my boogly for anything. So.
I like it. All right.
Thanks,
you have a good day, Terry.
Thanks
for the call.
See you Thursday.
Okay. Have a good day.
All right,
thanks. Bye-bye. And we got to take our final break this hour, and there's plenty of time on the other side for your phone call at 580-KIDO. Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. Hey, we do have time if you want to give us a call at 580-KIDO. And, you know, if you have any comments and questions, and I know a number of you will listen to a podcast from time to time, but they are, and some people aren't aware, that at our website, we have at petsofinancial.com, there is an area you can go in for any of the back programs, things like that. And I think it just takes us a couple of days to get those up every week. And if you have something you in particular want, you can obviously let somebody know, and they're welcome to listen if that's more convenient than the regular program. And also, we have articles and all kinds of calculators on that website. But one thing I want to really point to, okay, is there's a – I've mentioned this before, and but I've forgotten it recently, and that is there's this really cool – it's only 2 minutes, okay? It's 2 minutes, but it's a cool video about a fund and a story that goes with it. Okay, about pulling money out over the years and how much money came out for various things and what it's worth. It's not a story about the fund. I mean, it is. It is a story about the fund, but what it really is it's a story about investing. How over the decades it works. Because when you think about it and you're watching this video and you think about the times, it doesn't talk about it in the video. But think about how hard it was in the 1970s. Inflation was ripping and unemployment was high. We had the thing called the misery index. And then we had market crashes. In 1987, one day down almost 25% in one day. I'll never forget that. That was really something to be sitting there watching the screen and knowing it was hours delayed. Hours. We didn't know where the market closed at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We didn't know until I think it was about 5 o'clock when finally the trades caught up. It was incredible. We've had 250% corrections in just the last 15 years. 20 years, excuse me. To where we kind of think that's a normal thing, right? There, because that happens every, 10 years? No, it doesn't. It's very rare. Very rare. Very rare. All through that, and much more that I'm not even talking about, this story is, and the story of investing, the story of our life. That's what that's on there, okay? And it's called Meet Dave. It's not about me. It just happens to be a Dave, right? Okay, so that's the story that they put together. And I don't want to mention the fund because, number one, it's irrelevant what the fund is, okay? Because it's not the best performing fund. It's not. It's just a great story about investing. Okay, so you find that out there on our website, do, and I really suggest you forward it. I've had people say, I forwarded it to all my kids, right? Of course, because we need to understand that. It's a simple story. 2 little minutes, that's all, okay? That's at PetzoFinancial.com. Okay, we had a killer jobs report. We have strong earnings. We have home sales surging. We have the best January in 30 years. That is great. But what's the media saying? Well, it's a late inning game. It's a late inning game. We're in the late innings. The late innings. We have been in the late innings for years, according to the economist experts. Now, remember, I can't remember who said it. What a great saying, though, right? Economists exist only to make astrologers look good. That's it. And it's true. People don't know where interest rates are going. We sit here with bated breath like, what does Mr. Sharp say? He's been bearish for 10 years. I don't care what he says. What about this guy over here? Bearish, 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 late innings. Maybe we are. But why do we have to guess this? Why don't we just look at the data? Look at the ground conditions around us. Like just said it. Unbelievable jobs numbers. Just on Friday. Hello. That was pretty recent. Okay. All right. We got to get out of here. Thank you for joining us. If you have any comments, questions, please shoot those over to us at PetzoFinancial.com. We'd love to answer those and hear what you're thinking. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.